into a place of expectation. So many people that I've talked to this week, people that I've met with, or people that have just tagged in through the week, they're like, man, I'm expecting God to do something great in my life. I'm believing God is at work and moving and working in my world. So remember, we have been teaching the last couple of weeks, and in the teaching we have learned that God both raises and redefines our expectations. We know that all is a process, and last week we dealt with the in-between of the old and the new. How do we deal with the disappointments that we face as we are walking all of this out and learning and growing into this word? Isaiah chapter 43 is where we have been the last few weeks. If you have that marked in your Bible, we're going to read these two verses again, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So we're understanding a little more about what this new thing is and how that God is working in the new thing. And honestly realizing that the old thing or the past thing no longer provides a framework, the way that I used to think. It no longer is big enough or is as expansive enough to receive the new thing or to comprehend the new thing that God is doing in my life. When God does a next thing, then you can always depend on the past. But with a new thing, you have to have a completely different framework. This is the way Jesus said it. Jesus said, "You cannot put new wine into old wineskins." He said, "I'm giving you something new." So in order to receive the new, you have to have new capacity. You have to have new framework. You have to have new mentality. You have to be in a place that you can receive the new thing that I am doing in your life. What I've learned is that the greatest challenge for the new thing is it's not the new. It's not change. It's not the unfamiliar. It's not, "I've never been here before." That's not the greatest challenge to new. The greatest challenge to new is old. Because old is what is so familiar. Old is what we have become so used to. Even if old is dysfunctional, even if old is, just chaotic, even if old is just, I mean, this doesn't even make sense, I'm at least familiar with that, and I'm used to that, and so I learn to live in something that is dysfunctional or something that is not working, and that's what he says. I want you to remember not former things or consider things of old, because I'm doing a new thing. And he said it springs forth. It springs forth. That means that it starts small. Starts small and it takes time, but it begins to build. Begins to build. It begins to work. It begins to become more and more and more. Do you not perceive it? I do believe that God is working on our spiritual perception and our spiritual acuity to the point that I'm not waiting on someone to tell me what it is that God is wanting to do. I'm hearing from God in my own heart, in my own spirit. I'm hearing what God is saying and the ways that God is working in my life. I'm hearing God for myself. So that's somewhat of a recap of where we have been the last few weeks. Today, I want to go to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, and just work through the first 10 or 11 verses in Luke chapter 5, because it begins to detail another one of these stories that helps us understand what living with expectation looks like and how Jesus can radically change a thing in our life. The Bible says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Let me set the scene for you, if you will. Jesus is doing ministry alone at this point. He does not have the disciples who are going to become famous in their own right, or men that we're going to look to or certainly appreciate and see every time we see Jesus there. They are. He doesn't have those men around him yet, so he's teaching and sort of introducing himself to people. People are hearing this new message, if you will, for the first time. And so the crowds are gathering. They're coming by the many. And they're wanting to hear what he has to say. And on this particular day, the crowd was great as they were pressing in. And Jesus is backed up to a little bank there. And here are these fishermen who have left their boats. And they're over there washing their nets, putting all of their equipment away. And Jesus calls out to one of them, Simon, and says, hey, I need to borrow this boat. Crowds are pressing in, and I need everyone to hear me, and so I want to get on your boat, and I want you to just push out a little bit from the shore so that I can just get enough distance that everyone can see me and can hear me. And I think that's good, because, you know, Jesus is trying to use something that's not in use. He sees these boats, and here are something, these things, these people that have a purpose, and yet they are not being utilized. They're just idle over there on the shore. And Jesus says, let me involve them in what it is that I'm trying to do. These are career fishermen. These are professionals, and these are commercial boats for that day and for that time. These are not small rowboats. These are not little John boats. These are not the smallest bass boat that you could afford. These are commercial fishing boats. And Jesus climbs up and pushes out and continues to teach. And verse 3 says, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. We all know Peter. He's a hothead. He's the man that has the temper. We'll learn in just a few moments as we continue studying through this chapter that he had a very challenging night the night before, and yet he complies to Jesus' request. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He's not familiar with him, and probably he's wanting to finish washing his nets and get on to the house. He's been up all night. Maybe he has other things that he wants to do today, and yet Jesus, this stranger, says, hey, can I borrow your boat for just a moment? And I want you to launch out. I'm going to take up a couple of hours of your time. I need to do this. And yet Peter is compliant. He's willing to do this. Jesus is borrowing the boat, and Peter is hearing the call of the Lord. And yet I imagine that Peter is hearing something that he's never heard before. This is where I want you to lean in for just a moment today, because sometimes you don't even know what it is that is happening in your life, and yet you sense this is something more, this is something greater, this is something beyond anything you have ever experienced in your life. You may be hearing teaching today, or the last few weeks, or if today is your first time, I don't know, it's unfamiliar story to me, and yet the feeling that I feel, what I sense in my life is calling me to go just a little bit farther. And so verse 4 says that when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Already Jesus is raising and redefining Peter's expectation. It's doing it all at once. Peter, I want you to take this same boat that I have been setting in teaching for the last little while. I want you to go out where it is deeper. I want you to let down your nets, and something good is going to happen in your life. Something big is going to happen in your life. He is raising his expectations. If you are willing to go deeper, then you are going to experience something you've never experienced in your life. Can I just talk about deeper for just a moment? Because I need to tell someone that is catching on to this Great Expectation series, people whose faith is building, people whose mind is expanding to receive and to believe for the great things of God. Some miracles will not happen in shallow places. Some breakthroughs will not happen in shallow places. Some things will not come in God with shallow worship or with shallow commitment. He's saying, if you want to experience what I have for you, if you want to walk in the abundance that I have for you, if you want to experience the supernatural that I have designed and destined for your life, then you are going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to go farther in the things of God. You're going to have to go deeper into the things of God. You're going to have to push yourself just a little bit, because out there in the deep is where I am doing my best work. Because the truth is, sidelines are no place for spiritual success. The shallow place is no place for spiritual success. Listen, the church at Covington, we've got a shallow end and we've got a deep end, and we've got people all along the shore, people that are in the shallow end, people that are in the deep places. And regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey, regardless of where you are in this thing called God or in this thing called faith, you are welcome, you are welcome, you are welcome. Those on the shallow end are never going to feel like they're doing something wrong, or feel like they're making any kind of mistake. And those that are on the deep end are not going to think that they're more spiritual than anybody else. Well, they may think it, but we're going to help them with that. But regardless of where you are, there are people in all parts and places on this spiritual journey. But here is the thing that Jesus wants to do for all of us, for every single one of us, is to convince us that wherever we are, whether it's shallow or deep, no matter where we're standing, no matter where we're living, no matter where we are spiritually, that we have not seen everything that Jesus has for us. How many know that you have not seen all that God has for you? How many know that your eye has not seen and your ear has not heard, and it's not even entered into your heart yet, the things that God wants to do in your life? And so our goal every single week, no matter where you are, whether you're on the shore, whether you're in the shallow water, whether you're in the deep water, whether you're somewhere in between, is that every single person would answer the call to go just a little bit deeper into the things of God. I want to keep moving. I want to keep progressing. I want to keep becoming. I want to keep reaching for the things of God. Because if you go out into the deep, Simon, that is where you are going to catch fish. You're going to catch fish. You're going to achieve. You're going to attain. You're going to see this happen in your life. And verse 5, Simon said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing." I mean, you're telling me to go out into the deep and I'm going to catch fish. Well, let me tell you something, because you don't look like a fisherman, sir. You look like a carpenter. You don't look like a fisherman, and I just sense you're trying to tell me how to do my job or how to be successful at something that I have known what it is to be successful in this department. You kind of can sense Peter's hot-headedness and his temper, and I don't know that what he's saying isn't correct on the surface. Here is a carpenter trying to tell a fisherman how to go and catch fish. And the reality is, most fishermen will tell you that the best fish are caught in the shallower waters. And now you're telling me to go out into the deep. This doesn't make any sense to me. And we worked hard all night long. The King James says we toiled all night. We wrestled with this all night. Peter is having to deal with his past disappointment. We worked hard and we didn't catch a thing. Have you ever been there in your life? You ever worked really hard and yet didn't achieve anything? You ever worked really hard and not accomplish anything? It's what Peter is admitting to. We worked really hard and we didn't catch a thing. We tried our best to save money and we have nothing. We worked hard at the marriage, but it's still failing. We did everything the doctor told us to do, and still I'm feeling bad in my body. I've worked at this all night long. You have to deal with these disappointments between old and new. And how do I do this? How do I get through this? My past experience is telling me that my future experiences will be no different. There is no use to going out into the deep because we've already been out there. We've already done all of this and we were not successful. We did not accomplish anything. We didn't achieve anything. We didn't get anywhere. That's what Peter is saying. We don't want to just work and work and work and not be successful. We don't want to just expend energy and give ourselves and yet accomplish nothing. No, that's not what we want. We want to see some fruit for our labor. We want to see something come together. We want to see all of this work for the good. The last thing we want for our church is to toil all night and catch nothing. No, if we're going to serve, we want to see God do great things. If we're going to work hard, we want to see God move in profound ways. That's the reason that we're doing things like Discover Church today and 45 people saying, hey, I want to be a part of the vision. I want to see what it is that God is up to in this house. I want to join. I want to get on the team. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this house. Why? Because we don't want to just work or spin our wheels or just show up and say that we were at church. We want to have church. We want to experience a catch of fish. We want to experience a harvest. We want to experience the abundance of the Lord. Master, we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, this is what I have to catch today. If you say so, I'll let down the nets again. This is what sets Peter apart. This is where expectation is born. This may be where expectation is reborn in your life. I can tell you how hard I've worked. I can tell you how unsuccessful I have been. I can tell you what I've done that didn't work. I can tell you what I tried that failed. I can tell you what I gave to that did not bring a return. I can tell you what I invested myself in that only fell apart. I can tell you about all of the issues and things and problems. I can name all of those things. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again, expectation is born. Nevertheless, if you say so, I probably don't trust many people. If anyone else was telling me to do this, I know you're just a stranger, but it feels like there's something happening here with the words that you are speaking. If you say so, then I am willing to try one more time. That's what I believe Jesus is looking for on this Sunday morning. I know there's been disappointment. I know there's been difficulty. I know there have been challenges. I know there have been setbacks. I know there have been dark days and there have been sleepless nights. But is there anyone in this church? Is there anyone in your house? Is there anyone in your marriage? Is there anyone in your life that is willing to try one more time? Is there anybody that's willing to believe God is able and to believe that God can and to believe that God will? Because if I'm willing to try one more time, to believe one more time, He is letting me know that there is going to be the success that I have been looking for and longing for in my life. And verse 6 says, that this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. There were so many fish in their nets that they began to break. They began to tear. That's how full they were. You know what? Enough said. If Jesus says He's going to do something in your life, you know what? You can take it to the bank. If Jesus says He is going to build His church, then look out. His church is going to be built. If Jesus says He's going to do something great and something incredible, then who am I to doubt? Who am I to live in disbelief? Who am I to be without faith? I might as well believe the word of the Lord. I'm trusting the promise of Jesus. I'm believing the word of God that He is going to do His greatest work, a net breaking blessing. Their capacity was not large enough. Their nets were not big enough. All of a sudden, they were wishing that they would have grabbed the largest nets that they had, and yet their nets are breaking because there are so many fish. Again, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Somebody shout, that's me. That's me. I love God. I'm believing God to do something great. You know what TCAC needs? We need 100 people. We need a few dozen people that believe God, that will believe God for a net-breaking blessing. People who will say, you know what? We are with this house. We are believing God for revival. We're believing God for harvest. We're believing for this Easter to be the biggest Easter we've seen in years. We're believing for more souls to be born into the kingdom. We are believing for God to do great things. Net breaking revival. Let me tell you what I'm believing for. You know what I'm believing for? I'm believing somebody's going to come sit in this section right here. What is wrong with these four rows right here? Every Sunday, the team's been trying to take pictures. You know, we can promote on social media, and a bunch of them we can't use because every picture has this empty section in it. And I'm afraid if I put that on my Facebook, people are going to think, look, that church is empty. Got people in every section and nobody in this one right here. This is not haunted. I cast every spirit, every devil out of this section. Y'all are welcome to sit here anytime you want. Just expecting, you know. Net breaking What is it that you're wanting God to do in your life? How is it that you're wanting God to move? I see an army of students and young adults. I'm proud of you guys filling up this section. You filled up my house a few weeks ago, and we talked about things that you want to see happen, things that you want to do, things that you want to have your hands in and on, and where you want to serve in this house. Don't think we've forgotten. We've not forgotten. We're working hard, putting it all together. And I'm so proud of our youth. I'm so proud of our young adults who are saying, I want to serve God's house. Why? Because I don't want it to just be my parents' church or my grandparents' church. I want it to be my church. I want to have my hands on the net when this harvest comes, when this breakthrough comes, when this revival comes. I want to be a part of it. I'm wondering if I have a few dozen in this house. I'm wondering if God can count on 100 people in this room to believe him for everything that he wants to do in the next few months, in the next few weeks, right here in this church. Is there anybody that believes it? I know it's time change Sunday and we lost an hour and I'm so tired. I heard the news talking yesterday that we could expect way more car accidents on Monday because of time change. Our news has gone crazy, folks. Did y'all drive any less ably today on your way to church? No, you didn't. Whether you have had good sleep or not. I'm not allowing the enemy to put me to sleep. They were breaking their nets at God's blessing. And you know what happened in verse 7? The Bible said that a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. I love this, that the blessing of the Lord was so much, it was so rich, it was so full, it was so abundant that it spilled out over onto others. Amen. It wasn't just Peter that got blessed. It wasn't just those that worked on Peter's boat that got blessed. It was all of the other boats too. It wasn't just my family that had something great happen for them. It was your family as well. It wasn't just my marriage that received strength and healing. It was yours as well. Because when I get so full that my cup is running over, that has to go somewhere. It spills out into others and on to others. I'm talking about the kind of personal revival that doesn't leave just you personally revived, but it begins to revive everyone in your house. It begins to revive everyone on your job. It begins to revive the neighbors around you. Why? Because God has done such an awesome work in my life that every person I'm connected to is getting blessed just like I am. Because I refuse to be selfish with what God has done for me. That's why I will happily pass out and find 10 people between now and Easter that can be my guest. Because what God has done for me, the ways that God has worked for me, I want everybody to experience this. I want everyone to know this. I want everyone to receive this. I want everyone to know what it is that I know. Hey, we need other boats. Come on, come on. We don't just want our church to be blessed. I drive up and down these roads, new roads, and I love to look at churches. I'm seeing churches on every corner. I'm praying, God bless that church. God send revival to that church. Send a revelation of who you are to that church. I'm not praying that church empties out into our church. I'm calling and praying and believing for the servers in restaurants and the attendants at gas stations and the people in general. Come on, y'all come and be a part of our church. Bless, spill this thing over into churches all throughout Newton County and Rockdale and all around us. We want this community to be on fire for the things of God. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were others with him. Peter sees the amount of fish in his boat. He remembers what he did all night long, toiling and rowing and fighting and not catching anything, struggling his way through life. And now all of a sudden there is so much blessing in his life that he says, wait a minute, I'm completely unworthy. I'm such a sinful man. Lord, you need to get away from me because I know who I am. I am undeserving of how good you have been to me. This had such a profound impact on Peter that he literally would never be the same after this moment. And you know what I'm believing today? I'm believing there's people in this room that will never be the same after hearing this word today. You think, wait a minute, I'm not worthy. I'm just a messed up girl. I'm just a messed up guy. We're just a broken family. I'm just a life full of all kind. You don't even want to know. I'm too embarrassed to say. I'm just a sinful man. And yet God is saying, I can do great things with you. Romans 2 and 4 has always been so powerful to me. He's asking them the question, trying to help them understand. He asked them, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Hey, do you not know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? He used a net-breaking blessing in Peter's life to bring him to a place of repentance. God has been so good to you. And all he's saying is, come on, get out of the shallow place. Come, get out of that place where you just go to church every once in a while. Come on to a little deeper relationship with me. Come on to a place where there's just a little more commitment in your life. Come on to the things of God. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. You don't have to leave. Stay here because from now on, you'll be fishing for people. Listen, verse 11, as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I'm telling you, there's that kind of an anointing in this room. It says, you know what, whatever I thought my dreams were for my life, whatever I thought my ideas were for this day, whatever I thought I was planning to do, whatever direction I thought I was going to go, I'll leave all of that and follow Jesus. Does anybody want to follow Jesus today?
Yes.
Anybody want to go where he's going? Do what he's calling you to do. I don't want to miss that moment. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes across this room? Jesus. Jesus. Father, I pray for people in this house today that want to make a commitment. People that are making a choice. People that are making a decision. To say, you know what, I want to follow Jesus all the days of my life. Many of us can say we've worked all night, toiled all night, wrestled all night, trying to put life together, trying to make it all happen, trying to hope it makes sense. And yet here you are, Lord, saying, go a little deeper. And you'll help us with it. I pray for people in the room today that need to make that decision, that choice. Pray this prayer with me today. You can use your words or you can borrow mine. Just say, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin today. I want you to forgive me for doing it on my own without you. I want you to lead my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. And where you lead me, I will follow. I want you to save me. I want you to heal me. I want you to give me direction so that I can leave it all and follow you. In Jesus' name.